One of the things I love about that song, it doesn't say, get yourself all fixed up and put back together. Fix all the broken things about yourself. Get right, and then I'll receive you. Doesn't say those words. It says, come, just as you are. Just as you are. Broken, cracked, leaky vessels, hurting, and come receive life everlasting. That's a beautiful song. Spent last week with over 1,300 people, kids, ages third grade through sixth grade. They have so much energy. I mean, a lot. They can go a whole week without sleep. I almost did. From getting to bed at 1:30 or 2:30 at night and back up again at 5 for a week on this old man, pretty hard. Pretty hard. But some amazing things. Amazing things. Somewhere near about 150 of those kids gave their life to Christ. Ah. And I've been asked, my wife, why I've continued to do, well, she knows this, but several people ask, why did you keep doing all that for those years? That's why. That's why. Countless more came and said, you know what, I'm a Christian, I've done that, but I've not been faithful in my walk. I've not been living the way like I should, and I'm going to commit today that I'm going to do it right. We've had somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 to 40 of those kids say, you know what? God is showing me right now that when I get old enough, He wants me to be in ministry. He wants me to be a missionary. And God places that call in their heart. And I pray when they go back to their churches where they are this morning, that there are people there who are teaching them and training them up and inspiring them to do exactly what God's called them to do and to be. The missionary that we had at camp this week was he was from El Salvador, lives now in Washington by way of Canada. Great story, great story. He was born to a girl of she was 13 years old when she gave birth to him. No father, she couldn't take care of him, so the girl's parents raised him until they passed away at about the age of 5, and then some missionaries from America came in, and they took him in. They gave him food. They fed him 3 times a day. And that was like, he thought, who eats 3 times a day? And they raised him up. When he was 12, these missionaries, I mean, he had been trained and taught. When he was 12 years old, these missionaries took him to this remote jungle location in El Salvador, and said, all right, here you are. Here's a month's supply of food. Tell these people that about Jesus. They came back and checked on him in about a month, and he had 25 people in a church that he had planted at 12 years old. This dude was fantastic. He has a great, fantastic story. He's now working on his immigration from Canada. He went to Canada because Canada had, after you've lived there for 6 months, they get free health care or something like that. And he had to do that because he had cancer. And he got up there and worked through all that and is healed of cancer and now lives just south of the Canadian border in Washington. And he has planted 12 churches there. He has people in each church, but he is kind of like their head guy. And he ministers to 12 different churches there right in that area. Fantastic. And we flew him down to speak to these kids. And basically what he told them was, you're not too young. You're not too young. I want to tell you, you're not too young, and you're not too old. You're not too old. Camp was fantastic. Our pastor, and I'm going to tell you, he told a story, and I'm going to tell part of the story that he told because it goes along with what I want to tell you this morning. But he's a big old guy. How many of y'all remember when I used to be 415 pounds? Yeah, I used to be a big guy. I used to be called Big Mike. Now I'm just Medium Mike. But he's every bit of that, if not more. But he's only about this tall. So he's rotund. Let me put it that way. He's rotund. But man, I love this guy. I love this guy. He's a pastor friend of mine. And he kept telling the stories about how he's afraid of heights and used that in his illustrations. Almost every sermon about his scare of heights, going to the top of the St. Louis Arch, going in an airplane, all these things. He said, I can't even watch a cartoon where they go up high without my heart raising up a little bit, heartbeat racing up. But at camp, they have this big place they dug out, and they run these cables across there. They pull people on tubes. It's a fantastic thing. Well, this year they added this new section where they dug out the cliff, and the cliff is 21 feet high down to the water, and they dug the water down. The water is 18 feet deep. Pretty blue water. They dye it. It makes it nice. And they built this platform out over the top of the cliff, and you can go jump off the cliff. Well, we run two camps, and so the pastor at the other camp, Justin, I was talking to him, and I said, man, you need to talk to Jerry about going off the cliff jump. He said, I've talked to him. He won't do it. He won't do it. And I thought, okay. So I went back to the lodge, and Jerry was there, and I said, Jerry, that cliff jump's calling your name. He said, do what? I said, no, that cliff jump's calling your name. I drove by and said, Jerry, call Jerry. Tell him to come jump off of me. He looked at me and said, are you serious? I said, yeah, that's right. I think that's what I heard. He said, all right, well, let's go, you and me. And I thought to myself, now I have no intentions of going off this cliff. What have I just gotten myself into? Can I back out? I said, all right, here's the deal. We'll go up there, you and me together. You go first. He said, we're going up there together, and you're going first. I said, well, I can't back out of that one, can I? So we went up there and we went off this cliff jump. And by the time, I don't know how the word got around, but by the time we got up there in line to where we were, we had these life jackets. Can you imagine him? I mean, it was tight on me. Can you imagine him? He said, this reminds me of that Chris Farley thing. A fat man in a little coat. Man, it looked like a bikini top on him, really. Climbed up there and by the time we're ready to jump, half of the camp is there. All the creek staff, the college students that run the camp, they have like 200 of them. Most of those who are up there gathered around, video cameras everywhere, to watch us jump off this cliff. And I jumped off, water all the way up to the top of my head, I mean inside to the top of my head. And then he gets up there, and I'm thinking, dude, you better not bail on me. You better not bail on me. And sure enough, to his word, he stepped off. They said, the little girl that was working the station, she said, you got to count 3, 2, 1 real loud and jump. Or she said, say 3, 2, 1 real loud and jump. So I went, 3, 2, 1 real loud. And I stepped off. And she explained to me later that that's not how I was supposed to do it. I was supposed to yell it loudly, 3, 2, 1, very loudly. And I said, well, it doesn't matter. I went, I got wet, and I fell, and I lived, and I'm here to live another day, so good deal. But that, you know, campus, it was exciting. It was a lot of fun. But the best part about it was touch lives, change lives. And it's definitely something that's worth doing. And I love it when we send our kids to camp. And many of you help us send our kids to camp. I want to tell you, thank you, because it matters. It's a big deal. They're in an environment where it's out of their normal routine. They're at a place where God really is the center of everything that goes on there. And they've got people around them that love them and care for them. They want to be there. They've signed up to go, volunteered. And it's a good place. Had several trips to the emergency rooms. I was the director of the camp, and so several trips to the emergency rooms with ambulances and that, and I'm homesick, and I've got 103 fever, a lot of those kind of visits and some injuries, staples in the head and stuff like that, you know, some altercations. No, we'll fix them up. Staples fix a lot of things, staple and glue and some duct tape. You know, when your kid comes back, when your kid comes back from camp, most often they've either been changed, challenged, or recognize something about themselves that needs to be a little different. I love camp. I love camp. But that has nothing to do with what I'm talking about this morning. Just want to kind of give you a brief synopsis of my week. Did I mention you I didn't sleep much? Did I already mention that? Okay. Matthew chapter 19 is where I want us to be this morning. This is the story of the rich young ruler. It's Matthew chapter 19. We're going to begin in verse 16 here. I'm going to read several verses, and then I want to tell you kind of what the Lord spoke to me through this passage. It says in verse 16 and following, it says, "Just then a man came up to Jesus and asked, 'Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?' 'Why do you ask me about what is good?' Jesus replied. 'There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments.' 'Which ones?' he inquired." I love it. He says, okay, I get it. Got to keep the rules. Which ones do I get to keep? Which ones do I have to keep? As if to say, and which ones can I break? Right? And Jesus replied, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your mother and father, and love your neighbor as yourself." The guy was like, had a checklist. He said, "Oh, great. All these things I have kept. What do I still lack?" You see, there was something within him that said, okay, yes, check, 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 check. Okay, I got all those things, but surely there's something more, because there's something within me that is calling out. There's still something missing within me. What is that, teacher? Tell me what that is, because that's what I want. It's what I need. I know there's something missing. What do I still lack? And Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. You will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." But when the young man heard this, he went away sad, because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly, I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Well, then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at him and said, "With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible." All things. With God, even rich folks can get to heaven. Okay? Because really, it's not about the wealth, it's about the attitude. It's not about the wealth, it's what you put before God. It's not about the wealth, it's what you portray yourself to be that may not be an accurate reflection of who you really are. This guy, he had a lot going for him. He was wealthy. It says here, he went away sad because he had great wealth. He was a ruler. He was over people. He ruled people. He had people under him to do the things that he wanted to have or needed to have done. He had responsibilities. He had power. He had influence. He had status. When people looked at him coming down the street, they would say, "There's that rich young ruler. Let's make sure he has a clear path. Let's step back." He had status. And on top of all that, he was young. He had it at a young age. This guy, I mean, he had it all going for him. When you look at this guy, I mean, he had it all. Just about everything a person could ask for. But he still knew something was lacking. So he asked Jesus. And he didn't like the answer he got. Have you ever asked God something and not liked the answer you got back? Okay. Well, you still have a choice. What are you going to do with that answer? And guess what? That's your responsibility. You get to make the choice. Am I going to obey God? Am I going to hear what God's saying to me and follow that? Am I going to be obedient to that? Or am I going to walk away sad? I heard a story this week from Pastor Jerry, and he was telling me about his 4-year-old son. Now, his son's not four years old anymore, but he was telling me the story. And the boy came up to him and said, "Dad, I want to play soccer." Well, Jerry was a football coach at that time, and he was like, "Well, it's not football, but it is football. So it's kind of, I'm game. Let's go do football." and he went and took him to academy, and he bought him like these awesome shin guards. For a four-year-old, the shin guards are about that tall, you know, but they're awesome, and they were the right colors and the best ones. And he bought cleats, you know, the kind with the really long things on the bottom so he could get a lot of traction, really good stuff. He bought that. They bought some pads, you know, for elbows and knees, and he had the uniform, this flashy uniform, and it was, look, man, he looked the part. He was like, I am a soccer playing dude. And they went to practice, and if you could just imagine a bunch of four-year-olds running around on soccer field over this ball, and it's just like this huddle that just kind of follows the ball everywhere around. But he was a soccer player. He looked good. Came time for game day, and they were out on the field. And they did this little cheer, and they went out there, and they were all pumped up, and the game started. And this boy, this pastor's son, he spent the entire first half of the game like this, watching through his legs with his head down between his legs, watching backwards, upside down. And he would turn to Dad, and he would wave, "Hi, Dad! Hi, Dad!" And the ball would go over there, and he would turn and watch it this way. The whole first half, and Dad was just on the sidelines going, "Oh, my goodness. What is this? It's not soccer. This is playtime. What is this?" At halftime, the coach and the dad, they got together and said, "All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to make him be the goalie. Quite possibly, when he's standing there with his head between his legs, backwards looking back at everybody playing, maybe the ball will hit him, and he will have saved a goal. And let's try that." So they put him out there at the goalie, and he got out there. And first thing he did when he got out there, he looked around. He laid on the ground in front of the net, propped one knee up, elbow on the ground with the other one, popped his head up and was laying there like a model, like a supermodel on the ground, like this, going, "Hi, Dad! Hi, Dad! I'm a soccer player, Dad! I'm a soccer player!" And Dad was just kind of like, "Oh, my goodness." And then Jerry went on to say that was the last time they ever played soccer. But what I got from that story is you can look good all day long. You can have all the right stuff. But if there's not something on the inside, then it's all just for show. You can put on your best clothes. You can give your tithe. You can attend church regularly. You can teach a class. You could be a deacon. You could be a pastor. But if there's not genuineness on the inside, it doesn't matter what the outside looks like. How many of you have seen it, rodeo time? Everybody all of a sudden becomes a cowboy. Yeah? Brand new, shiny, pointy cowboy boots with the little silver tips on there. Belt, hat, blue jeans, pearl snap shirts. You got all these cowboys walking around. But anybody that's a real cowboy knows that clothes don't make you a cowboy. I think we can all agree with that. Just like church stuff doesn't make you a Christian either. I titled this sermon, "Don't Be a Poser." Don't be a poser. When I think of Jerry's son out there, he was posing. "I'm a soccer player. Take my picture. We'll have it forever. And I can remember when I was a soccer player." Right? "Take my picture. Put me on the screen because I was a VBS volunteer. That makes me an awesome Christian. I've got everything worked out. No other issues in my life on the outside. I went on a mission trip. That's good enough, right? I've done all these things. What else must I do? There is still something lacking within me." And what was lacking within the rich young ruler is the same thing that's often lacking within most or a lot of Christians today, is that genuineness, that thing from the inside that transforms and makes the outside look real. We can fake a lot of things, but you can't fake genuine authenticity when it comes to following the Word of God. The rich young ruler, he knew there was something missing. And when it was revealed to him what that was, he wouldn't give it up. And it wasn't about the money. it was much deeper than that. In his case, it was really pride. I mean, he was rich, he was young, he had people, and Jesus said, fine, I'm going to hit you where you're not giving up. I'm going to hit you where the thing that really drives you, and it's your pride. A lot of us struggle with pride. And guess what God is telling us? It's time to quit being a poser. It's time to quit saying to everybody and letting everybody think that you're this person, especially when you come to church or when church folk are around, are you that same kind of person when there's nobody around, when nobody's looking? You see, that's who we really are on the inside. Most of us, or many of us, struggle with material possessions. Many of us struggle with secret sins, those things that sometimes if I visit with some folks and there's this little thing that's going on, and an excuse is, but that doesn't affect anybody else. It always affects somebody else. It always affects somebody else. You may think it's not, but see, that's part of that lie the devil's telling you. You can act like this and be like this, and it's all good. And God is saying, no. I need you to be the person here and act the same way over here. And quit being a poser. You're faking some people out. And when they find out, another pastor friend of mine I just found out this week resigned from his church. You can probably guess why. Formed a relationship with a female staff member. Who is not his wife. If you're a guest of ours today, or if you're a visitor, the piano player is my wife, so if you see us holding hands or kissing or something like that, rest assured, okay? Broke my heart, because not only has this man lost his ministry, the people that he had ministered to are hurting. They are broken. They are torn apart. They're thinking, we put our faith and our trust in this man, which is the first error. But we believed him. He looked the part. He sounded right. He acted right. And we came to find out that it was all an act. Now, it may not have all been an act, but he allowed something to destroy his testimony, to destroy his influence. Secret sins. Does the outside match the inside? And if it does not, does the outside match the inside in your life? If it does not, you have an option here. You can write it out and see what happens. Or you can decide to be real and genuine. One or the other must change. One or the other must change. Either quit faking it and quit acting like it and just go ahead and let everybody know who you really are, or change who you really are by the Word of God. The Word of God says you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He's not talking about weight loss. He's not talking about new hairdos. He's talking about what happens on the inside. You'll be transformed on the inside, and it'll match with what's going on the outside. Is God calling you to change today? And if so, what is He calling you to change? I will tell you, there's no better time to start than when you first hear it. Challenge those kids this week, just as I've challenged you, to resist the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit says, okay, this is an area of your life that's not right, and we need to get that worked on. When you say, yeah, I hear that, but, and then whatever else follows doesn't really matter. I hear that, but I'm just not quite ready yet. I'm almost finished, and then I won't go back to it ever again. But what will they think of me? Are you kidding me? I can't go down to the front. I've been attending church, and everybody thinks I'm a Christian. I've been here for 193 years. If I go down there, they're going to think something's wrong with me. Guess what? There's something wrong with every one of us. There's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with me. And God says, get it right. Amen. Get it right. Come. Let me fix you up on the inside. Let me begin that transformation on you on the inside. That way, what people see on the outside matches what's on the inside because it's real. He said, you will worship me in spirit and in truth. You can't worship God in fake. He says, worship me in spirit and in truth. Now, I'm not saying that we probably have some folks here who are deacons or the regular faithful folks that are whatever the great sins are, as if one's more worse than the other, right? But you know, child molesters or murderers or thieves or burglars or anything like that. I'm not saying that. I mean, if those are present, let's stop that. Let's fix that, right? But maybe it's an issue with pride. Maybe it's an issue of refusal to allow somebody else to help me. Maybe it's a refusal to help somebody else. Maybe there's something in within you that the Spirit, and I don't know what those are in your life, but I can almost guarantee that you're thinking of something right now, because that's the Spirit telling you, there's an area of your life right there. That's it. I sent Brother Mike an email. He knows it. I didn't get that email. But I do know that none of us are all the way right. I do know that the Spirit wants us to be righter than we are. So whatever those areas are, let's quit faking it. Let's quit posing. Let's go ahead and not say we're a soccer player if what we're doing is laying down in front of the goalie net with our hand up, holding our head up and waving, going, hi, Dad. Hi, Dad. Let's not say nothing is impossible with God, but I'm not going to jump off that 21-foot cliff because I just don't think I can make it. I'm not saying go do stupid stuff. What I'm saying is let the talk match the walk. There is no place for posers. There's no place for posers. That's what God told me this week. And He told me on several nights between the hours of 1:30 and 5 o'clock a.m. Because that's when it's the only breathing time I had. There's no place for posers. Too many people depend on you to be real. In your family, in your homes, in your jobs, in your church. Folks, I've heard stories. I've seen deacons get saved. I'm not telling you that our deacons are not saved or anything like that. What I'm saying is, I know some men who have lived and thought everything was right and made everybody else think everything was right. And then one day God shook them up and said, it's never been right. You had never tried. And it's time to start. So they've come down and they confessed their sins to the Lord. And He saved them at that time. I've heard stories. I've never seen it, but I've heard stories of pastors getting saved. So it doesn't matter what your status is. It doesn't matter what your resume says, VBS, praise band, ministry team member here, volunteer here, tithe giver here. Doesn't matter what all that says. What's in the heart is what matters. And I think it's time for us to get our hearts right and our hearts straight. And so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to open up the altar at this time. The altar is open. The great thing about our faith, the great thing about Christianity is that the veil has been torn. Amen. You see, before that, you had to come to the priest and say, priest, here are my sins. This is what I've done. And here's a goat to prove that I'm really sorry for it. I've got two doves. Whatever. And then the priest would take that blood and he would sprinkle it on the altar and say, now you're forgiven. But when Jesus died on the cross, the veil was physically torn in two. And what that signified is now there is nothing between you and God. Nothing has to separate you except sin. But that doesn't even have to separate you, because Jesus Christ has torn the veil. And you can be forgiven from all sins. All sins. Every single one of them. Big, small, doesn't matter. And start fresh. And start a fresh following of Jesus Christ this very day. You can come to the altar. All that to say, you don't have to come to me. You don't have to come to me. You come straight to God the Father and tell Him yourself. I will be available. I'm going to ask my wife Rebecca to come stand with me in case you want to pray with her. We would love to pray with you or for you. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know what? I want to put my faith and trust in Jesus really for the first time. I did some stuff long ago. I went to church camp when I was a kid, but it never really changed me, the decision I made, because I came back and I never really did anything with that. But I know now that I've been living a lie and I want to make it right. Whatever your need is, this is your time. Your time to respond. What has the Spirit said to you today? And now here's your deal. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? This is your opportunity. This is your opportunity. As we stand and we sing.